GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
All right, time for us to turn our attention to the All-Ireland Hurling Final, and I'm delighted to say we've got James O'Connor and Shane McGrath with us to help us to preview it. Lads, you're both very welcome. Shane, I might start with you. We had Tommy Walsh on during the week talking about the parade on All-Ireland Final Day, and it got me thinking. Jack McCaffrey was basically saying earlier in the week that he actually really enjoys the parade now. He's got to the point where he's looking around. Early in his career, he would very much have been kind of like, oh, I have to focus on it. But now it's about enjoying the occasion and the moment and getting into it. Do you remember All-Ireland Final parades? What were they actually like for you?
Yeah, how's it going, Jar? I love the parades. I'd be that kind of character anyway. I kind of love the build-up to the games anyway, you know, all the stuff that was going on maybe a couple of weeks before the game with the suits and all that crack. And I enjoyed it, and I don't think it really affected me as a player. Maybe if you're more kind of a shy personality, or you know, you just don't like that, maybe affected you. But I loved walking around the pitch, and I think for every bit of hard training you do in January and February, March, I mean, that two-minute period walking around the pitch, knowing that not only are 83,000 people looking at you, but I mean, people all around the world are looking at you, and it's just that feeling of immense pride that you know your mom or dad or your first cousins or your uncle's aunt or maybe your former principal or friends at home are seeing you on the big screen, and it has to fill him with pride, like, really. And that's what the lads will, you have to enjoy that moment. I think Andy Daly came out with a great quote saying, you can never get 2-3 or 2-4 scored off you in the parade. You have to just enjoy it, you know. And I used to always enjoy it. And, you know, the odd time you have a look over at the guy you're marking, see how he's feeling and all that. But for me, that was always Kilkenny guy, so they were always feeling pretty good, like, so. And I really loved coming up to the hill because, you know, that's, I suppose, the loudest part of the stadium, you know. And I just loved that 30-second period, just walking past the hill and getting ready to break out in positions. I really enjoyed it personally anyway. I thought it was a great buzz before the big game.
Tommy said as well, he kind of thought about the anthems, that a lot of teams kind of joined together in a huddle, but he liked to be on his own, just thinking, I'm getting that next ball, I'm beating my man to it, I'm on my own, I'm going to look after my own corner from that point on, that being in the huddle for the anthem wasn't actually for him. Did any of that kind of stuff matter to you at all? When did you put your game face on?
Yeah, I suppose you put it on straight away after the parade, like, you know, you're running out. I didn't mind, I suppose. I was in midfield as well, so it was always me and one other guy, whether that was James Woodlock or Brendan Maher or Garrod Ryan or someone, and we'd usually, you know, you might link arms with them, and, you know, you just kind of enjoy the moment, enjoy the anthem. I suppose Tommy's mindset to the games was just unbelievable. I would have loved to have his mindset, that he played every game because he just loved hurling so much, whereas other guys kind of got very tense in it, and I would have been one of those guys who would have got very tense for the first few minutes, but especially in the earlier finals you played in. But that all comes with experience, and you know, they had so much experience of playing in the finals. But you know, at the anthem, I enjoyed the anthem. Sometimes I love that, you know, that little drum rattle at the start there, Jordan. So James, you know, as it well, especially at the stadium, that little rattle at the start just gets you going, gets you buzzing. And when the crowd all kind of come in at the same time on the national anthem, and the roar of the crowd, and you hear them singing it, you know, it just, the hairs on the back of your neck are standing, and you just can't wait for it all to begin. So, you know, I kind of enjoyed that bit of it as well, like, to be honest.
How did you play in All-Ireland Finals? Like, Tommy obviously has a range of experiences. Some were great, some were amazing, some were, he just says he didn't play up to what he thought was his own potential. What's your recollection of how your own personal game was, as opposed to the team game?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, you want to perform on the biggest days, you know. I was never a great player for the A versus B game the week before the All-Ireland, because, you know, you might have a fair idea if you're playing or not, and, you know, you weren't maybe going 100% all the time when you should have been. But Liam Sheedy was always kind of give out to me saying, you know, you're the worst person to play a training match, but you usually did it when it counted. And that's, I felt that I kind of did do it when it mattered the most. 9 and 10, I thought I heard well. 11 was one of the worst games I ever played for Tip. Got taken off at half time. Mark and Mike Finley that day, and he was player of the year that year, and he just destroyed me. But mentally, I was in a bad place going into that match. I just, you know, looking back, I didn't prepare properly for it, and, you know, didn't do everything right that I did in 9 and 10. And suppose came back in 14 then, like, on a personal level, after 2013, I was captain with Tip, and I had a terrible year personally. You know, met Eamon O'Shea in October that year thinking he was going to drop me, but he was actually just saying, you know, you need to drive it on next year. And I thought in the two finals in 14, I played well, and, you know, on, I know we lost out, and I was just so gutted, like, because, you know, you're thinking it's your last chance, but on a personal level, just delighted with how I hurled, you know, in a few days and gotten the score sheet and just contributed to the team. But you're building up so much, and you put a lot of pressure on yourself to perform in the big day, and, you know, you get that first ball. I think if you get that first ball during the first 3 or 4 minutes, get a ball into your hand and give a good pass or get a hook or a block in or even get on the score sheet, I think it settles you massively. And you see that with the lads there now Sunday. Lads who get on the ball in the first 4 or 5 minutes and make a big contribution, guarantee you they'll have a big game and a big influence on the game on Sunday.
Yeah, Jay-Z, what about you? It's interesting to hear all that kind of stuff actually does filter into the players on the day and it forms a key part of your memories, because sometimes you feel like a lot of these players are out there and the occasion can pass them by, and sometimes some of them actually need the occasion to pass them by because they need to actually not think about the fact that there are 82,000 and millions watching around the world.
Yeah, I think you know, the more big game experience you have, Jared, the better. I mean, I found it probably at a younger age. I mean, I played in the Munster Minor Final in 1990, and like that, it was over before I realised it. And I think those experiences probably stood to me further on in my career. And I think it's something that you know, you have to grow up with. And I mean, my experience in 1995 in the final, again, if I went left, the ball went right. I hit the post with a chance I should have put over. Even at one stage in the second half, I had an arrangement with Shawnee McMahon where Shawnee hit everything up to the opposition 45, and anything inside that, I took. And in the second half, he was fouled, I think, about 55 metres out, and he turned and jogged back, and I was screaming at him to hit the free, and he said afterwards, you know, he was thinking, going back to his position, I should be hitting that, and he just couldn't hear me. And I remember taking it, and it tailed away. It didn't allow enough for it was a little bit of a breeze there, didn't allow enough for it, and it tailed away wide, and it kind of summed up my day. 97, in the first half, again, you know, I couldn't get into it, struggling. Conor Bonner was doing his best to, you know, get his hands on me and drag me to the ground if a rock developed and that kind of stuff. And I was sitting in the dressing room at halftime wondering, how could this be happening again, you know? And really, you know, was going out in the second half determined that, you know, I'd kind of get into the second half, and thankfully I did.
How did you do that, though? What did you actually do in the second half to get into the game?
I think I wasn't moving enough. I just needed to move him more and travel more. And I remember, you know, early in that second, I think I got an early score. I remember Lognan at one stage coming across the pitch and saying to me, do you want to switch wings? And I said, no, I'm getting into it. And I remember thinking afterwards that, look, at least, you know, I was thinking clearly and he was thinking clearly. And that's the vital thing, I think, that, you know, for the players on Sunday, especially for the Limerick players, that you have to, you know, ultimately focus on what takes place between the four lines. And, I mean, you know, Shane talks about the build-up. I mean, the morning of the game is dreadful, Jerry. You know, just, you know, and it's only when you really, I think, get together for the warm-up, and we have to do hours away from Croke Park and arrive to Croke Park late, maybe half an hour before throwing. But until then, it's hell. And, you know, but once you get out on the pitch, I mean, that for me is the big buzz. Once you come out that tunnel, you're full of adrenaline and the crowd and the colour and, you know, the warm-up and the parade. That's great. And, you know, once you get your first touch, as Shane said, it tends to set you down. But the longer you go without getting on the ball or making a play, you know, the more it can mess with your head, So taking frees as well. Sometimes an early free, you know, particularly if it's a straightforward one, can just get the confidence, get the nerves settled and get you into the game.
Yeah, I always think that those teams who concede an early, easy free to their opponent, to a free taker who's either really good or on the other side of that, a little bit flaky, giving them the chance to get their eye in is like the stupidest thing. And invariably in All Ireland finals, somebody rattles the hurl in somebody's face to kind of announce that they're there, and you're thinking, oh, well done, that free taker is going to skin you for 10 points today because of that. And there's definitely that other side of managing the adrenaline to the point where people don't just go out John Rambo style and play into the opposition's hands. Just a final point on the parade, Jamesy, were you somebody who actually could look around, enjoy it? Like, did that take a little while?
Yeah, I think I was probably one of those guys who was more kind of locked into, you know, just getting ready and getting your own thoughts, you know, your own thoughts ready. So, I mean, did I look around? I probably did, yeah. But, like, you know, you're conscious now that look at throwing is only kind of, you know, seconds away or minutes away or whatever. And, you know, I mean, the national anthem, I'm not a religious person, but I said a prayer during the national anthem. You know, the things that go well. So everybody's their own little way, I suppose, of dealing with it. But you don't know, Jeremy. You can do everything to prepare. You can, you know, hydrate yourself and rest properly, eat properly. And there are some days, and I had it in the semi-final in 97, where I remember at one stage I was soloing through and Liam Keown flicked the ball away. It hit my forearm, popped up, and I caught it and put it over the bar. And I just had one of those days that when, you know, everything went right. So, you know, it's sometimes in the lap of the gods. And, you know, it's just one final point, I suppose, Jared. Like, in 2002, DJ got a goal, I think, in the first couple of minutes. And talk about the worst possible scenario for us, because it was one thing, you know, Kilkenny getting a goal, that was oxygen to them. It was worse when your man got it, because it was certainly worth more than the 3 points that went up on the scoreboard. And I think they always felt that, look, if DJ was on form and started well, then, you know, it was bad news for the opposition. So that was something after that game, I think we felt as well, that we never really laid a finger on them. We never, you know, broke a hurley in anger. And that was a real source of regret for us, that we weren't, you know, physical and aggressive and abrasive the way we needed to be probably after the 0-2 final. Now, Kilkenny would still have probably beaten us, but that's certainly a regret for that Clare team.
Yeah, Shane, it brings us back nicely to 2018, because there's a sense that Limerick are one of the few teams out there who could physically match Galway, and yet, if you look at what Clare did, it wasn't that they shied away from matching them physically, but it was not to play the game on Galway's terms. And you could see how, if you're a big, strong physical team, you'll try and match the opposition, but actually that might not be the right approach for Limerick.
No, I agree with you, Joe. I think you have to take Galway and take their leaders to a place where they don't want to be. And I think where their leaders don't want to be, and I'll take Dahi Burke, for example, is maybe pulled out of fullback, which he's been so demanding in, and the best fullback, you know, that kind of character that we haven't seen, maybe Brian Lohan or Dermot O'Sullivan, who's like, you know, you are not getting through here no matter what. And he has the hurling in to back it up, which is kind of frightening for full forwards. So you need to take him where he doesn't want to go, and where he maybe doesn't want to go, it's right out to the sideline. And maybe that's where Limerick might exploit it. They might put Graham Mulcahy on him and let Graham move out to the side. But I think, you know, that God would be very foolish to let Dahi Burke move left or right of that D, we'll say, in front of the 21. And I'd say you'll see the likes of maybe Toohey or one of these guys picking up Mulcahy if they are running into space. But Limerick are well equipped to kind of pull him around and pull him everywhere. I mean, the first I would have seen them really doing it this year was against Tip inside the Gaelic grounds. All their forwards came in for the puck out and they bunched right in the middle, and they knew who the first guy was going to run into space, and Nicky Quaid knew as well. And you know, it's you know, a lot of it's down to Paul Kinnock as well, and the way he sets up. He set up Clare very similar in 13. So they need to pull. If they go matching Galway physicality, they're not going to win the game. But if they can pull them out and really run them ragged, and it comes down to, okay, who has the best four or five guys to come on? Well, then Limerick probably have the best four or five guys to come on. And if it does go down to that, you know, Limerick have a super chance. And, you know, just as I said, take them to a place where they don't want to be, and that's using every inch of space at Wapping Croke Park, which, no matter what anyone says, plays bigger than any other pitch in Ireland. People say to me, oh, Ennis is the same size and Portlaoise. Okay, it might be the same size if you go around Little Trundle Wheel and all that, but I don't care. On All-Ireland final day, these things just play way, way bigger. You know, the 65 feels like it's 90 yards out because of the stadium and surroundings, Joe, like.
And the occasion, like, we forget that the biggest games that we watch that take place in Croke Park are always absolutely massive games, because it's only ever semi-finals and finals. So it does, you know, the weight of the occasion clearly has a function on all this as well. Just one more point about this before we move on. The success that Clare had in the semi-finals was not playing the game on Galway's terms. And Galway have that traditional, we're champions, we'll worry about ourselves. But they have to react then when Clare make changes. And even from the first game to the second game, they decided they would make changes. And those changes didn't really work out for Galway all that well. So there's plenty of little things and kinks that Limerick could try this weekend, and they could feel confident about the fact that they have to try them, because they're the ones coming who are the contenders, and they're the ones coming with the most to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I'm hearing that Johnny Hanbury is probably not going to start for Galway, and Sean Loftus is probably going to be the guy that comes in. Now, Sean Loftus played midfield for the Galway under-21s last week and got on the scoreboard at a few points. But what position he comes in is very interesting. I mean, Kilkenny were the masters of it. In 2011, we started a guy, John O'Keefe, wing back, and it was his first All-Ireland. Who did Brian Cody put on him? Only Henry Shefflin. So it'll be very interesting to see who Limerick actually put on Sean Loftus if he does go in there. Now, they have a lot of young guys in their forward line who don't have the experience of Henry Shefflin, but they have some very physical guys in there as well. Like, Aaron Gillan is physically strong in the air, so will they put him in on Sean Loftus and target him early on, get the balls in high? And, you know, maybe do to Galway what hasn't been done to Galway all year, really, and let the other team get the good start. I mean, imagine if Limerick get the good start and they bang a goal or two, because they have been creating way more goal chances than Galway have this year. Galway scored two goals in the two games against Clare. They scored one goal against Kilkenny in the replay. I mean, Limerick scored three goals the last day. They probably got Owen Murphy an all-star in the quarter-final with the amount of shots they took on goals. And if they'd taken all them, it would have been, you know, it would have been a clear landslide victory for Limerick. So I think that'll be a big thing, is who Limerick match up on Sean Loftus. He does start in the back line for Galway, and target him early on with some high balls in. And maybe if Aaron Gillan can keep the hurley in his hand this time, they might have a great chance of scoring a couple of early goals too, Jordan. That would be interesting to see how Galway react to that too, like, you know.
Yeah, let's see them when they're the ones who are chasing the game. Jamesy, what do you think? What if you're in the Limerick camp this week, what are you trying to do to put Galway off the rhythm and not just be like, oh, hang on a second, we're the All-Ireland champions, we've seen here, there's nothing you can show us that we haven't seen before?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Shane is a very interesting point, because for me, Gillan is the one guy that Galway have to account for, because, I mean, Jared, if he had taken the goal chances, you know, that he got against Kilkenny, first of all, when, you know, again, as Shane said, he made a hero out of Owen Murphy, a couple of fantastic saves, but he should have put those away. And he could have had a hat-trick the last time. He had two gilt-edged chances in normal time, you know, kicked one wide and put the other over the bar. And he had a great chance at Dowling to bring him an extra time. So, like, Limerick have, you know, tried to isolate him. I mean, they've half hours of play out the field, but Flanagan and Mulcahy have been drifting out into space as well, and trying to isolate him one-on-one with a cornerback inside. And Cullen Spillane and Paddy Deegan are two decent players, and this guy made them look fairly ordinary. So I think that Dahi Burke would be the guy I'd earmark for Gillan, because if, you know, you're assuming that Dahi Burke would pick up Flanagan, but there's no point, as Shane said, Flanagan drifting out the field, and Dahi Burke is 40 yards from the danger zone where he really needs to be. So that's something that will have, you know, I think Galway will have accounted for, and I wouldn't be surprised if Burke is the one picking up Gillan, or certainly if Dahi is the one picking up whoever's closest to the square, because obviously they're trying to get him away from there. I think the other thing that Limerick need to do is, you know, looking at them, Jerry, it's been incremental improvement. I mean, Cork and Nash have been the benchmark on puckouts and puckout strategies, you know, for the last couple of years. But, you know, I was really impressed with Limerick in the semi-final. And we had some, you know, some of our cameras from behind the goal, you know, you could really see Limerick's movement. You know, they were getting into the centre, making those runs to the side. There was an awareness as well. You know, Darragh Donovan got a great point when, you know, Darragh Fitzgibbon had lost him and Harrity was near to him, and there was space over the top, and Nicky went long with it. And, you know, so Limerick are hitting far fewer of these 50-50 puckouts now. There's more work than done, obviously, on the training pitch and trying to, you know, engineer these situations where the ball is to Limerick's advantage. And that's been impressive. So, like, they're creating goal chances. I think there's been a lot of work done on finishing some of those. And the puckout strategy will have evolved again. They'll have added a few wrinkles. And listen, they've seen that if it's close with 10 minutes to go, I mean, they've got guys to come off the bench and make a difference. And the question for me really is, you know, can the Limerick rear guard hold up at the end? And that's, I think, where the issues are going to be, because I think Glynn is obviously going to be, you know, a massive handful. And I don't know if they've got someone to handle him.
Yeah, again, we were talking about this during the week. And what do you do with Johnny Glynn? Do you play the man? Do you try and play the ball and ignore the man? But at 6'5" and in the form that he's in, it's kind of hard. Or do you just accept that 1-3, 1-5, 2-3 is going to come off him, and that's the basic handicap that you have to try and overcome to try and win the game? Peter Sheridan on Facebook says, Galway on the handicap is like finding money on the street. The biggest mismatch in All-Ireland final history. Galway are better in every single position. The game will be over in the first 10 minutes. That's not an insult. That's just a fact of life. I don't think anybody that I've talked to, Peter, agrees with you at this point, but keep the comments rolling in. We're live on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter as well. There has been a consensus in the last day or so in this office, Shane, that Limerick are actually slight favourites, that you know, people are actually giving them their call. When you're asking people to make a call, people in the office have decided to go for Limerick. And I don't know why that has happened. I mean, if it's just like five or six people reading off the same bits of information. But there's been a surge of people kind of suddenly believing in Limerick in the last few days. And I don't know what you think about this, but when you're being asked to pick a winner, what are you saying and why?
I'm not saying Limerick, sure. I thought we'd get into the game. I'm saying Galway. And I think Galway by maybe 3 or 4. This is why I think experience is a massive thing. Okay, these Limerick guys have won a lot. They've won colleges medals, schools medals, under 21 medals, All-Ireland club medals. Unbelievable amount of medals in their, you know, in their vault. And, you know, they've got some top quality players, and potentially they probably have 4 or 5, maybe 6 All-Stars on their team from this year if they perform in the final. But I just think they have one thing that you just can't buy, and that's experience of the big day. Now, they did a massive amount of it for the semi-final because the roar of the crowd there was similar to All-Ireland final. They're going to have 10,000 extra at it. And the other thing was they met the president. Now, you can't account for all these things. They're all one percenters, but like, they've gone through the routine of meeting the president, and that's brilliant. But what they haven't gone through is playing All-Ireland finals. Like, you have three of the Galway team playing their fifth All-Ireland final now this weekend. You have maybe another seven or eight of them that have played three All-Irelands. And then, you know, the core of the panel, this is their second All-Ireland in 2 years. And just the build-up and everything, you just can't buy the experience of that. You know exactly what the sound is going to be when you come out. And no matter how much you try to imitate it, I mean, we even tried, you see, they used to get this CD off Crow Park that they would have used there, you know, for training for the staff there, you know, that imitated all the sounds of Crow Park, the sounds that the crowd make, the sound that the announcer make when it's going to extra time. And I know the Limerick guys were using that this year in the Gaelic grounds, just turned the sound system up to the last, just to try and imitate it in an A versus B game where you literally can't hear each other and John Kiely cannot get a message in because the players can't hear him. And Galway have gone through all that. And I just think Galway, they've hit little patches and all that, but I do think there is a massive performance in them. And they performed last year in the All-Ireland final. They were by far the better team. They were, you know, they were up 10 points to 1-3 at one stage, and Watford got a couple of goals that kept them in it coming up to half time. And they drove on, and they were deserved winners of that game, scoring 27 points. So if they can score goals as well, Ger, I mean, Joe Canning hasn't scored a goal in 2 years. The last goal was against Clare, I think, down the stadium, the one off the Hurley, and he had to strike it straight away. So imagine if he can get a goal, no more so than James, he said, when DJ got the goal against him. The roar, the crowd, and all these things, you know. So that's why I think Galway are going to do it. I think the 2 weeks they've had is the longest break that they've had maybe since the qualifier round, the Leinster League round. They'll come in fully prepared. They know they haven't performed for a full game yet or close to it. And I just think they're coming in with the experience and with the players and with the hunger. They do not want to be regarded as the team that won All-Ireland and didn't win one for another time. They want to be like 87, 88. They want to create this new legacy for themselves. And I think, Ger, that they are going to do it on Sunday by maybe 4 or 5 points.
It all makes perfect logical sense when you lay it out like that, Shane. The one thing is that it hasn't been a very logical hurling season so far.
No.
I just want to remind everybody that we're going to be streaming the Kilmacud Crokes hurling sevens tomorrow on all our social channels in the afternoon as well, which has now become a key part of the build-up as well. A great comment from Colin O'Rourke on Twitter saying, the buzz starts on the motorway on the way to Dublin in the morning when you see the flags out the window of cars and buses. You can't beat that feeling until you get to Dublin, which is a fair point. Jamesy, same question to you. Who are you telling people when undoubtedly you're being stopped in the street going, well, what's going to happen? Who's going to win?
Galway as well, Ger. I just think that, you know, Glynn is just, you know, I suppose the X factor for me in the Galway attack, because I don't know if Limerick has somebody equipped to deal with him. You know, he didn't play well in last year's final leader, Jaron. Sometimes when you don't perform or don't play at your best, you know, you've got the bit between your teeth the following year, and he's got, you know, proper pre-season and all the work done this year that he didn't have last year. And, you know, I think he'll just be keen to do well and you know, stamp his authority on it. And I just don't think that whether it's Richie English, that Limerick have someone that can contain him. I think as well that Galway just have too many weapons up front in terms of, you know, Cathal Mannion, Conor Whelan, Canning obviously has to be accounted for, and I'm not sure about the pace and the Limerick half back line either. And I just think that Galway will have too much of them. I think as well, just one little point, I mean, I think Lord Nairn said somewhere, you know, after we lost the third game in Toffoli in 98, that, you know, he feels we maybe wouldn't have beaten Kilkenny in the final anyway. And I thought that was bunkum, because I thought, like, how could you go through the replays with Watford, go through the Offaly scenario and not win? Because at that stage, you've been through so much. Your attitude is, that's it. We can't possibly lose it now. And I think there's a bit of that about Galway with it. You know, they've been on the ropes. You know, they've teetered on the brink a little bit, but no one's been able to kind of knock them out and push them over. And, you know, go back to what Shane said. I think if you're David Burke, if you're Joe Canning, if you're, you know, some of those Galway players, one All-Ireland in five, whatever, would be a very, very poor return. I don't think that's what they want their legacy to be. So Limerick have a chance. There's no question about that. You know, if they get goals, then OK, and they're there with 10 minutes to go, yeah, it's game on. But I just think that Galway will have too much for them.
Lads, enjoy the game, whatever happens. James O'Connor, Shane McGrath, folks. Been brilliant having you this afternoon. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Ger. GAA
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.